This is the Banner of Truth broadcast, a ministry of the Free Reformed Churches of North America. Our speaker is Pastor Hans Overdoen.
In this broadcast, continuing still with our series on the book of Nehemiah, and looking now at chapters 9 and 10 of Nehemiah, let us think about how people should live who say they trust Jesus and follow Him. What does it mean? What does it look like to live in godly devotion and dedication to the Lord? Our text passage helps answer that question. It is a long scripture passage, but you can say it is all about the Israelites in Nehemiah's time rededicating themselves in thankfulness before God. It is about covenant renewal time. As verse 38 of chapter 9 states, we read there, "And because of all this, that is all God's mercies in the past, we make a sure covenant and write it." Literally, the text says, we cut a firmness. In other words, we commit ourselves to seeking and serving the Lord our God in truth, the merciful, faithful, covenant-keeping God. Well, let us learn together what their godly and covenant rededication looked like. It's not an unimportant subject, surely. Notice with me from the text passage the recognized need for rededication, then some real marks of rededication, and lastly, the blessings of rededication to God. We will not do this all in one message, but we will complete it next week. Our theme is thankful rededication to God, and we will see what it looks like considering the need for it, the marks of it, and the blessings of it. We have been in the book of Nehemiah for some weeks and months now. You will agree, I think, in the part we are in now, they sure seem to be having a lot of time with worship services and special feast days, etc. Chapter 9 tells us, after the 7-day Feast of Tabernacles and the Solemn Assembly Day following, then 2 days after that, the people met for at least a 6-hour worship service. For 3 hours, they heard reading and explanation of God's Word. And then for 3 more hours, they had a time of confession of sin and of worship and prayer before God. In chapter 9, then, we are also given part of the prayer offered to God. What comes across in the prayer is the people's clear recognition of God as the creator of this universe and as the one savior of sinners. What comes out, too, is what sinful people the Israelites have been over and over again, and what a patient, long-suffering, merciful, faithful, covenant-keeping God the Lord had been. The whole history of Israel is told from Abraham through to Moses, and then the history of the nation of Israel right to the time of the Babylonian exile. It is a history of repeated unfaithfulness on Israel's part and ongoing faithfulness on God's part. Verse 30 and 31 probably summarizes it all the best. There we read the people saying in prayer to God in regards to His covenant people, "Yet many years didst Thou forbear them, and testifiest against them by Thy Spirit in Thy prophets. Yet would they not give ear, therefore gavest Thou them into the hand of the people of the lands. Nevertheless, for Thy great mercy's sake, Thou didst not utterly consume them, nor forsake them, for Thou art a gracious and merciful God." In the last part of the prayer, they then also plead for God's further mercy and help in their present situation and need. And in that context also, we hear them commit themselves and recommit themselves to follow after God and His Word. They pledge in covenant renewal to walk in God's ways and to be dedicated and devoted to Him in all their works and ways. You see, they realized from their history, this is my point now, what need there was for covenant renewal and rededication on their part. Covenant renewal and rededication of our lives to God and for good comes always in the context of humble confession and recognition that in so many ways yet we fail to live for God as we ought. We all fall so far short from living wholly and only always for God and His glory. And always there's reason for repentance and renewal in God's ways in our lives. Every day again, there's reason for the prayer as expressed in song based on Psalm 51. "Gracious God, my heart renew, Make my spirit right and true. Cast me not away from thee. Let thy spirit dwell in me. This we need to say is always so basic to any spirit of genuine, thankful rededication to God, and to any spirit of true revival and covenant renewal. Namely, then there is a humility of heart before God, and a true and ongoing repentance of sin before God. And you know, in other words, always the matter of rededication and renewal is an issue, and not a non-issue. The people in our text passage going over in prayer, all God's undeserved mercies, in spite of so much sinfulness and ongoing rebellion on their part, and being repeatedly stiff-necked before God, oh, they were convicted how they needed to repent of sin, and to be resolved against sin, not just before God the Holy One, but especially before God so merciful and kind to them over and over again, in spite of how undeserving they were. Dear friend, can you identify with this point? Do you know and experience in your own heart and life the recognized need for rededication to God time and again? Do you live in daily faith and repentance before the Lord? Our text shows that is what true godliness is about. And this is what every true Christian realizes and reflects in various measures with the Holy Spirit's saving, sanctifying work in the heart, applying the gospel of Jesus Christ. But now, having considered something of this ongoing need for godly devotion and rededication to God, and how it shows itself in just realizing the need for it always, let us move on and from the text further notice some of the details of thankful rededication and covenant renewal to God. Our text gives at least 5 details about what it looks like. We will cover the first 2 in this broadcast yet. I will show them from the text. For one, with thankful rededication, you take God's word most seriously. Notice how the people placed themselves reverently under the reading of the book of the law for no less than 3 hours, as chapter 9, verse 3 states. And even more, look at chapter 10, verse 29. There we read that besides the leaders, Levites, and priests, a whole number, including wives, sons, and daughters, committed themselves to keeping to God's word by all means. Verse 29 reads, these clave to or joined their brethren, their nobles, and entered into a curse and into an oath to walk in God's law, which was given by Moses, the servant of God, and to observe and do all the commandments of the Lord our God, and His ordinances and His statutes. God's word gives promise of blessing when living according to it, and warns of God's curse and judgment when living in rebellion against it. And the people here, you see, place themselves in devotion both under the promise of Scripture in following it and under the curse of God in living in defiance of God's word, should they do so. The point is they pledge themselves here to take God's word so seriously. And this is an essential mark of all true devotion to God and of every instance of true covenant renewal and rededication before God. Is this something you also pledge yourself to by God's grace, in dedication before God and others? Or are you a person, like so many church people apparently, sadly so, who regards the Bible as a book to make use of when it suits you, and to interpret it as you like, and to discount great parts of it as you decide, and to live mostly in disregard for it altogether? How false and base that is, but it happens all too often by all too many. But when there is true godliness and genuine Christianity, it shows in you then, by God's grace, placing yourselves in humble submission under the whole of God's word, confessing, Lord, I will live in the way of all your word. Please teach me and guide me so. Is that your confession presently or not so? How true what one wrote in this regard, and I quote, this commitment to Scriptures as the only reliable authority in all matters of life, in all matters of faith and practice, is precisely what we need today. The authority of the Bible has been attacked by friends within the church and foes without. In spite of all criticisms, it stands as God's word written. To all who will accept it, it becomes a sure and certain guide to all the many and varied circumstances of life. By following its teachings, we enjoy far more than we could ever extract from all the world's wisdom. It brings all of life into perspective. A contagious enthusiasm among Christians for the Word of God and a return to faith and obedience to its precepts will do more to point the way out of present world distress and despair than all the plans and strivings of men. We can no more afford to neglect the Word of God than the Israelites of Nehemiah's time. We should read it eagerly, ever mindful of its author, message, and relevance to our daily lives. And we should diligently obey it and regard each imperative as God's supreme command. Oh, that God would make this all our conviction, yours and mine, and more so as time moves on, and not less and less so. A second clear detail that marks thankful rededication to the Lord is separation from the world, not participating in ungodly ways nor ungodly relationships. In our text, we see this too. With the response of the people to the word, we read in chapter 9, verse 2 and verse 28 and also verse 30, references made to it, how the people separated themselves from the degrading influence of the heathens and idolatrous peoples around them. The religious practices of these ungodly people were particularly licentious and exceedingly detrimental to the moral and spiritual life of the people. Their history so proved the corrupting influence of ungodly relations with the unbelieving. How this principle of separation from the world, though living in this world, is still so essential a point in living in true godliness and devotion before God and in covenant faithfulness before Him. Especially also in our prosperous times, we need to ask ourselves repeatedly whether participating in something of this world is the right and wholesome thing to do. You need to be willing to sacrifice much that the world offers us in the way of pleasure, especially in regards to music and movies and video and computer games, as being actually all a bad influence and a wrong influence on us rather than good. We need to take seriously too the emphasis not to get into marriage relations with unbelievers. Verse 30 states in covenant renewal, these people said, "We would not give our daughters unto the people of the land, nor take their daughters for our sons." How urgent that also this principle of godly living be upheld and taught today. And as Paul writes also in the New Testament, you don't get married with someone who confesses and shows himself or herself as an unbeliever. Being thus unequally yoked mostly always brings so much weakness and confusion and challenge in the Christian home and family. Too many think they can ignore this guideline of Holy Scripture, and the result is spiritual decline and demise, with very few exceptions. Are you a person into submission to God's Word and separation from the world? James writes strikingly in his book of Practical Religion, "Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, among other things, to keep oneself unspotted from the world." Are you doing that and remaining committed to that? John writes in his first epistle, chapter 2, verse 15 and following, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abides forever." Well, there's much more to say here, but we will have to continue this message next time, Lord willing. I've only yet mentioned just two of the five obvious signs or marks of living in true godliness and praise to God. Will you examine yourself even in what is said so far, having the prayer of the psalmist in Psalm 139, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting," in the way of true covenant faithfulness. Amen.
If you would like a free printed copy of this message for yourself or a friend, write to Banner of Truth Broadcast, 9698 Epp Drive, Chilliwack, British Columbia, Canada. The postal code is V2P6N6. That's V2P6N6. For more information about the Free Reformed Churches of North America, you can go to frcna.org. Again, frcna.org on the internet. Thanks for listening. Tune in again next week at the same time for the Banner of Truth radio broadcast.